me invite you over to the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord," listen, "that bought them, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now for a long time," or of a long time, "lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptations and to receive the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. And Lord, we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to fill us and to guide us, that we might worship you and hear from you, and that you would be honored and glorified. And Lord, if there's one or maybe more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, may you open up their understanding to receive you as their personal Savior, that they also might enjoy the salvation that you've paid for. Bless each one, Lord, for being here this morning. And again, Lord, may you be honored and glorified and our lives empowered by your grace. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Lot's Faith. Simply Lot's Faith. And if you know much about Lot, you might say, "What faith? What faith is that?" Well, maybe we can entitle the message, "The Problem with a Faith Like Lot's." The problem with a faith like Lot had, right? It wasn't a very strong faith, but he did have faith and he did have the righteousness of God. We read that here this morning. So what is salvation really all about? Well, God would have us, as you read the scriptures, as you read the word of God, that we can equate or equal the word faith and trust the same. You can put them equally, right? You can go to a grocery store, and they have these off brands that's called Equate, right? You ever see Equate? Well, what they're trying to say is that they're equal to the genuine article. That's what they're saying. They are equal to. And so, likewise, God is wanting us to understand that faith and trust mean exactly the same thing. You can equate them together. When I put my faith in Christ, I put my trust in him. In what? In his righteousness. In other words, I have no righteousness of my own. And we're not condemned because of the things that we do that are wrong. Did you know that? We read this in the scriptures. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's true. But the news is that even if you don't commit any sins, the Bible says that even your righteousness, what you think is good and kind and gentle and generous, are as filthy rags. That's the gospel. We are wrong. We were born wrong. We were born condemned because of our sin nature. Our sin nature is one that serves self. That's how we are, naturally speaking. We are selfish. You see that, I've mentioned in the past, at a very young age, little children, when they start to talk and they have a... Have you ever known a child not to have a dispute over a toy at a young age? And the very first thing that they say is, "Mine. That's mine." Well, mom might come first, but then mine, right? Mine. And that's because that's their nature. So if you have a Rottweiler, and I go back to my teenage years, I had a a friend of mine that lived up the road from me, and he had this Rottweiler. It was a trained Rottweiler to a guard dog. And I kid you not, he was the biggest Rottweiler I have ever seen till this day, and his snout hit me right in the stomach. And Bert gave a command. His name was Rocky. The dog's name was, he'd say, "Watch him." And they had an 8-foot fence because he'd jump over a 6-foot fence. And he ran right up to me, put his snout right in my belly. That's how I know exactly how tall he was. And he growled and showed his teeth. And I just closed my eyes and I said, "Bert, help." And he gave another command and Rocky just walked away. Now, if he said, "Rocky, watch him," and he started meowing like a little kitten, I would have scratched my head and said, "Something's wrong with that dog." Because that's not the nature of a dog. The nature of a dog is to bark. Unfortunately, the nature of mankind is to sin. But God loved the world so much, for God so loved the world, that he gave, his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe, trust, put their faith, their trust in his righteousness, he gives it to them. And they are no longer without hope in the world. They've been placed into the family of God. Now, this might be a little bit of a hard concept to understand, but you can never change your mother or father, your physical mother, your physical father. Whoever you were conceived by will always be your parents because you were born to them. If you're here today, you have a mom and a dad that you are a part of. And it doesn't matter how far away you live. It doesn't matter if they've left this world. They're still your mom and your dad. And will always be. And you can change your name. They can choose to disown you. You can choose to disown them. But that will never negate the fact that you belong to them. And God's love for his own, who never forsakes us, is greater than our love for our own. Think about that. God's love for us is greater than our love for our own. How can you say that, Brother George? Well, I've got 4 children. And if one of my best friends were in trouble, and the judge would say, "We'll take an exchange, one of your children's lives for the freedom of your friend," I would have to say, "I'm sorry, friend. You're there for life. I'm not giving up one of my children." But God gave his only begotten Son. There is no other faith, no other religion that can make that proclamation. Every other religion and every other faith is based upon what you can do. Only faith in Christ professes what God has done for us. And his love. That is how you know it is the truth. All other religions are the same. What can you do? This is what you should do. This is what you shouldn't do. But see, faith in Christ is not a religion. It's a relationship restored. Because God so loved the world that whoever should call upon him should have eternal life. And pass from death to life. And so the gospel message is, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can receive that, you can let go of what you think, because what you think, I got news for you, what I think is not the way God thinks. Amen to that. Listen, I am so glad, because if I was God, you'd have no hope. If you were God, I'd have no hope, because not a single one of us in their right mind would give up a beloved child of ours. Wait, not for a friend. The Bible says while we were his enemies, We were not concerned about God. We were living for me, for ourselves, that God said, I'm going to give you my son. Now, all you have to do is just by faith. Maybe you're here this morning, you say, I don't know if I've ever done that. The invitation is the Lord's. You can just, there's no set prayer. All you have to do is say, you know what? God is the Savior of the world. His Son, Jesus Christ, died in my place to give me His righteousness. And right now, I put my trust in Him and Him alone. And watch what God will do for you. Not what you can do for God, what God can do for us, which changes our complete destiny. That's eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't do a single thing for it but trust and believe. Wow. Could it be any easier? Every other religion will tell you all the different hoops and things that, and hurdles that you've got to leap over and jump over and do this and do that. And God says, uh-uh. If you can see that your righteousness will never measure up, if you can see that God even calls what you think is righteousness because we're born wrong, is still sin in the eyes of God. Do you realize that everyone who says, well, I'll please God, do you realize that what they're saying is God was wrong in sending His Son? I can, God, listen, God, you're wrong. I can please you. Really? You think that's what God said? I'm giving you my son because I know you can't please me. You're going to argue with God. It's a losing argument because God says that even because we are born wrong, because we are born condemned. It doesn't matter if you've never sinned. You will still die in your sin nature, condemned before the Lord, to an eternal punishment in hell that the righteous God says it belongs to us at birth. But God's love for us has intervened, stepped in to pay for our sins that we might have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a salvation. I didn't know that till I was 24 years old. And God opened up my understanding to see that, you know what, even though I didn't kill anybody, and even though that I wasn't a swindler and a cheater, that in my own righteousness, my own nature was wrong before the Lord. And God helped me to understand that. And I saw myself greatly condemned before the Lord, deserving eternal death. And at the same time, I knew that Jesus, this fellow had been witnessing to me for a couple of weeks, that he showed me in the scriptures that Jesus had taken my place, that if I'll put my trust in what He did for me, I can have eternal life. All that clicked for me at one moment. Let me just tell you my prayer. Ready? Save me, Jesus. That was it. Amen. And the Lord came in and saved my soul and let me know that my sins were forgiven. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. But and I know it's different, listen, but you will know this, the time and place that you put your faith, your trust in the Lord, and He forgave you. And if that's not the case, God says, the invitation's right now. You don't know what one moment will bring forth. You don't know what one moment will bring forth. Do you mean, Brother George, I can walk out these doors and die? Possible. But I will tell you this, the Bible says that the devil waits to pluck out of our hearts the message that was just preached. Like the birds of the fowl eat the seeds, the seed of the Word of God has been sown, and the devil's like a bird waiting to eat the seed that's been sown in our hearts, so that we will walk out these doors and forget completely what was said concerning our eternal life. But God says, now is the time of salvation, today. And you know what? Lot in his life trusted the Lord as his Savior, and he calls him just Lot. Look with me, if you will, in verse 6 there at 2 Peter. Here's Lot's salvation. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 says this, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overflow, making them an ensample unto those that should live ungodly. Listen to this, verse 7. And delivered just Lot. Lot was living amongst them. He had forsaken the things of the Lord, but he was justified because he'd put his faith and trust as anybody else does. You mean to tell me, Brother George, that salvation is not dependent upon me and what I do? It's not. It's not. Do you mean to tell me that the Bible says that salvation is completely dependent upon the finished work of the cross of Calvary, in which Jesus Christ died and bled and shed his blood for you and I? Yep, that's it. And so Lot put his faith and trust in the promise of God that was going to be, that was in, yet in the future, and he became a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so what happened was, God saw his son, his blood-bought son, there where he was getting ready to pass judgment, and it says this here in verse 7, and delivered just Lot, justified Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And listen, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. He called Lot godly. Now, he was not in right fellowship with the Lord. But you know, here's an amazing thing. I can go home to my parents' house, and they don't expect me to ask them for anything. I can help myself to whatever I want. Now, sometimes I've asked them. And sometimes my kids have asked them. And they say, you just help yourself to anything you want. Why? Why do they do that? Because we're family. Why does God do that? Because we're family. I don't understand it. But God's righteousness declares it. And I praise the Lord for that. So here we have Lot, who's been delivered because of who he is now in the family of God. But he doesn't have really much of a testimony in his salvation. And that's the problem, really, with a faith like Lot's. And as we consider this, I want you to see something. Because sometimes, let's back up to the book of James. Just a couple of books back. You have 1 Peter and then James. And go over to chapter 2. And I want you to understand the difference, because some people say, well, I believe in God. No, 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 no. Have you personally put your trust in God? I believe in the president. He doesn't know me. And I really don't know him. But I know him, don't I? I know who he is. I believe in all different kinds of people that I've never met. But have I trusted them? Do I have a personal relationship with them? Listen to this. In James chapter 2, verse 17, even so, faith or trust, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. In other words, it doesn't produce anything. Yes, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, a faith that really works, guess what? It works. A faith that works does something, right? A faith that works does something. Listen to what he says here in verse 19. Thou believest there is one God. Listen to this. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. They believe in God too, but they're waiting for judgment, because there's no relationship. And so there's a concern there. James says that kind of a faith is going to get you in trouble. Because he says this, verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man? What is vanity? Somebody that looks to themselves. But wilt thou know, O man, who's just looking to yourself? Listen, that faith without works is dead. Faith that doesn't produce anything, being alone, is dead. Now, that doesn't mean that we do it, but that means that God does it in and through us. So when I got saved, just to help you understand, when I got saved, I didn't do a single thing. You know what I did? I understood my need. That's all I got. And God had to give me that. I would have never had that unless God opened up my understanding. I thought I was okay. And if I died, I thought God was going to weigh out my good and my bad. I didn't murder anybody. I wasn't a thief. I wasn't stealing from anybody. Oh, but I was guilty before God. And so God opened up my eyes to see that even my righteousness before him were as filthy rags. And I saw that and I said, oh God, save me. And he did. So let's consider Lot's faith. Let's back up, if you will, with me to Genesis chapter 18. We'll go from one end of the book to the other. How about that? Genesis chapter 18. And look at verse 16. And let's look at Lot's commitment to his salvation, more or less his lack of commitment, really. But look at verse 16. Genesis 18, verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abram went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. That's God's work. God saw that. Abraham had no, he heard the promise, but God was going to bring that forward. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has, listen, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham, let me say that again, that the, let me, let, let's hear God say that again, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. That's who's going to bring it to pass. I have no righteousness, but God says, I'm going to give you my righteousness. And because I'm going to give you my righteousness, I'm going to give you a compassion for other people. So you know what happens all of a sudden now, when I see people, have you ever had any, raise your hand if anybody's ever been mad at you. Anybody ever been mad at you? Do you know why they're mad at you? Right, ready? First of all, because they can't get past themselves. And secondly, possibly because they don't know the Lord. And if they do know the Lord, they're not filled with the Lord at the moment. Because I can get mad at somebody, but I'll be the first one to tell you that means because I'm full of myself and not of the Holy Spirit. But today when I look at people, especially those that I don't know, and they get mad, whether you're on the road or you're driving too slow or whatever, and they shake their fist at you or worse or whatever it is that they do or whatever it is that they might say, my heart goes out to them. Because chances are pretty good they don't know the love of God. And they don't know the joy of the Lord. Now, before salvation, I'd have given them what for back? Because I didn't know the Lord, who is our peace and who is our joy. And so here we have Abraham being made something that he was not naturally, that God was doing in his life. Verse 20, and the Lord said, because the cry, he's talking to Abraham, of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin, listen, is very grievous. That's how the Lord sees it. I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come to me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. So there's three of them. The two angels are going on their way, but the Lord is still there. Verse 22 again, and the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham, where was he at? Stood before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou, listen, I want you to know this. This is conjecture on my part. Let me just tell you who Abraham is really concerned about. Lot. He's really concerned about Lot. But I want you to know something that Abraham, I don't know, really fully understands at this moment. So is God. We've read 2 Peter. God's really concerned about delivering Lot as well. But notice what Abraham says. Verse 23. Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? He's talking about Lot. Peradventure, and by the way, I want to remind you, in case you're not familiar, remember the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham had a falling out? And Abraham said, listen, and by the way, he was planning on Lot. I think Abraham was thinking that Lot was going to stay in the land. You stay in the land. That's where the promise of God is at. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. But let's divide ourselves so that there's no more conflict. But what does Lot do? He goes down to Sodom and Gomorrah. He goes away from the promised land. And he says, I think I can take care of myself in this place better than God can take care of me. And that's the quickest way for the child of God to get out of the will of God. Still a child of God. Still loved by God. But out of the will of God. And that's what Lot has done here. Verse 24. Abraham says, peradventure, listen, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Now, do you remember that the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah were taken captive? And Abraham goes with 300, I think it was 300 or 350 men, 300 I think it was, goes down there to save the day, and he does deliver them. And the king of Sodom and Gomorrah wanted to give him something. He says, nope, my hand belongs to the Lord. I'm not taking anything lest you say that you made me rich. And so here we have this king, right? And he was delivered by the servants of Abraham. So I'm thinking, listen, how does Abraham have these 300 servants that no doubt probably know the Lord because they're his servants? And so he's probably thinking, surely Lot's out there. He's got the same amount of herdsmen and the same amount of cattle that I had. And he's got 300 people that he knows that are saved. So he says, well, let's just be safe and let's just say 50, God. Surely Lot has witnessed. Surely he's told 50 people about the Lord's salvation. Verse 25, he says, that be far from thee to God, to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Listen to this. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He knew God was a righteous God. Surely you would save them. So what does the Lord say? Verse 26, and the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, listen to this, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. I will spare Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to spare them. All of them, not just the 50, I'm going to spare them all. So now he moves on a little bit down to verse 28. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50. That's 45, right? And so he's thinking himself, but wait a minute. Man, Lot didn't stick around with the promises of God. He went his own way. Maybe he's not telling, maybe not that many know. So how about 45? Now listen to this, verse 29, and he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure, perhaps there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the 40s. Verse 30, and he said unto them, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30. And he said, behold, now I have taken me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And the Lord says, I won't do it for the 20. And it comes down to 10. Why is Abraham going lower and lower and lower? Because he knows Lot. And maybe Lot just has his family that's saved. Remember the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot. Not even his herdsmen knew the Lord. Not even the herdsmen. So what happens here? Lot is not abiding in the land of promise, in the promise of God. He's a saved child of God, but he's in the world and he's become of the world. And the Bible tells us that he was grieving his own soul in the world. See, Abraham, listen, back in Genesis chapter 12, when God gave him that promise, there was a famine in the land. We're not going to go back there. Genesis 12:10. And he leaves the land of promise, goes down south into Egypt, and deceives the king of Egypt. Do you remember that deception? Sarah, tell him you're my sister. So what does the king do? He takes Sarah. And what happens after that? Problems. And then he finds out that, hey, listen, that's his wife. Why did you do that? Abraham was straightened out by a pagan king about what was right. And what does he do? He goes back into the promised land and serves the Lord there and saw the importance of the promised land. to abide in the promised land. What is the promised land today? Where are the promises of God found today? Does not John 15, did not the Lord say, if you abide, where? In me. And I in you. You'll bear fruit. You'll bear more fruit. You'll bear much fruit. And when you begin to ask the Lord for the things, you'll know the mind of God. You'll be asking Him for the things that He wants. And He'll gladly give those things to us. That's abiding in the promised land. And that's what's missing, really, in Lot's life and in his faith. So what happens? And we'll finish up here. We'll take a quick look at the righteousness of Lot because of God's grace. There in Genesis chapter 19, look at verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even in the evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. Did you get that? Do you see what's going on? He knows his city. He knows the wickedness of his city. He's trying to hurry them up, get them inside the house so they don't see anything. Take your rest and get up early and get out of here. You know, that's a sad state of affairs for a child of God to be in, concerning the presence of God. Get in, get out, and go on your way. That could be like Sunday morning Christians. Get in, get out, and just forget about God and go on your way. But what happens? Verse 4, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out the door unto them and shut the door after him. So he gets out of his house, closes the door behind him. And listen to what he says. Listen. And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. That was their intent, to do wickedness. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do unto them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore they came under the shadow of my house. What? What? What is the matter with him? Well, some speculate, oh, Lot knew that they would never have these women. The fact that it came out of his mouth, at the least then, he's being a deceiver. But that's what happens when you get caught up in the world. You start deceiving even your own self and believing it. So what happens here? Verse 9, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and will he needs be a judge? Now will we deal worse with thee than with them? And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and they came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. There's a lot right there. We'll just unpack it very quickly. These men were so wicked that they were smitten with blindness. In other words, they just lost their eyesight. They were so driven by their sin that they still continued to tire them. They looked so hard, they were tiring themselves out trying to find the door to get into Lot's house. That's how wicked. They didn't care about the destruction that was physically happening to them. They were still looking to feed their flesh. Is that not the problem of the day and age in which we live, where people are so confused because they're guided by their flesh and not the truth? There is no other truth but the truth of God. There is no, listen, this idea, you have your truth, I have my truth, is non-existent. The truth is 2 + 2 will always equal 4, never equal 5 or anything else. We can't discuss how we feel about that equation, 2 + 2. It will always equal 5, or we're wrong. And the truth will always be what God said it is, or we're wrong again. So the world is in a mess. Our country is in a mess because of what they're saying and what they're thinking. Listen, as a child of God, don't cave to that, because you and I, believe it or not, are their only hope to the truth. Lot compromised his convictions and his walk, and therefore the men had no trust, no faith, confidence in what Lot had to say, because he didn't say anything, really. The truth is known. And that's what a lot of people do. They're so afraid to say anything to their friends or people that they know in the world because of what the world might say. But listen, you and I are supposed to be the light and the salt of the earth. If not us, there is none. There is none. In all godly, compassionate love towards those who have been blinded by this world and by the flesh, if we don't stand, God, listen, has chosen you and I to point them to the truth. But if we have a faith like Lot's, that we hide it because we're afraid of what people might say or people might think, Jesus told us, they've hated me, they're going to hate you. But the truth is, we really were the enemies of God too, but he still came to us. So what happens here? Let's consider this testimony. God didn't leave Lot to be destroyed with the city. By the way, the child of God is not appointed to the wrath of God. We've been delivered from that. Verse 13. In fact, verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But listen to this. He seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. His sons-in-law thought basically he was joking. Come on, really? Get real. I mean, listen, news went out about these guys that came into your house and how these people, how all the men, both great and small, were blinded. And now all of a sudden you're going to get a little bit scared. Come on, you never lived like that. Now all of a sudden you're going to get on fire. Now all of a sudden you're going to come alive. Come on, really. Now all of a sudden, listen, you're going to be a fanatic. Was the threat real? It was real, wasn't it? Listen to this. Listen to this testimony. Verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise. Did you get this? Get out of bed. Take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of this city. Listen. Ready? And while he what? Lingered. He lingered. Oh, you know, you got to love it when you got to be somewhere at a certain time and you got a group of people that are with you and they're just kind of just taking their time like they don't care. We got to go. Oh, not so. Not so. What's the hurry? Judgment? Verse 16, and while he lingered, the men laid hold upon him and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful, did you see that, unto him? And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, verse 17, that as he brought, when they had brought them forth, this family, abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Oh, okay. And that was, is that what Lot said? And Lot said unto them, oh, listen, not so, my Lord. What? What? Oh, not so. This is the one whom God delivered. Now here's the truth. Did God deliver Lot? Yes, he did. Did Lot deserve it? No. But it was the mercy and grace of God, the same reason why you and I are delivered. Amen. We've been delivered. Presently, we are being delivered. The more we seek the Lord, he'll deliver us more. and we will yet be delivered. We will stand righteous because of the blood of Christ that has been applied to our lives. No other reason. Is God worthy of our trust? He's given us what we have not deserved. And he says, I want you to be my light to tell these people that have no clue. I want you to encourage believers like Lot to have a better faith, to be more encouraged to seek me. Why? Because the Bible says the days are evil and the return of the Lord is at hand. And wickedness is clouding the eyes and the minds of people to see the truth. And he said, in the end days, things are going to get crazy. Are things crazy yet? And getting crazier. And God says, I want to use you to help people understand the truth. How will we do it? How will we do it? By God's grace. Lord, go before me. Lord, please build my faith, my trust in you, not in myself, not in what I can do for you, but Lord, do a work that I can't do in me for your honor and glory, that I might walk in your grace and be the light and the salt to point people to you. God's not finished with his church. His church is his body. I've read in the book of Revelation, how about you, where he's going to present his church a glorious bride in white raiment. That's us. How will that happen? We're not strong enough for that. No, but God is, praise God. And if we'll call upon the Lord, but if we walk in and out of here just the same way, without at least the desire to say, oh God, do your work in me. Nothing will change. God says the time is now. If not today, then when? It won't ever come if we don't do it today. And so God is saying, come unto me and call unto me and I will answer and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your salvation, for the privilege and opportunity to open your word. Lord, I pray and ask that you would do a work in our hearts as only you can. May we realize and may we see this as your invitation, even right there where we stand, that we might call upon you to fulfill your will in our lives. And Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, allow them to know that they can call upon you right there where they stand, that they can just say, oh God, I can see that. You are the Redeemer. You are the Savior. And I put my trust in you alone, in your righteousness, not mine and yours, but you alone. They too can have eternal life. Bless the invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.